Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
Have your Bibles. I want you to go with us to the book of Psalms, chapter number 23, 23rd Psalms, one of the most beautiful Psalms in the Bible. That's my opinion, but I've got a lot of more beautiful scriptures in there also. But I want to read from the scriptures this morning in the book of Psalms and talk about the valley of restoration. How often do we need to be restored in the Lord today? Huh? From the 23rd Psalm, beginning in verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. Now, we're talking about the great shepherd here. He restoreth my soul, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. What greater comfort can we find than in this scripture in God's word that tells us that he's with us? And this 23rd Psalm has a much more powerful message than people realize. It's a powerful message for the church, but it's also a powerful message to give to those who are lost and find out that their souls can be restored and brought to a place where God wants them to be. And I've used this psalm many times in the past in ministry. I've used it in preaching. I preached one day the entire 23rd Psalm. I don't know how many went to sleep, but I thought it was pretty good. I've used it in preaching, I've used it in teaching, and I've used it and taught it as an anchor to the soul who's in distress. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he restores my soul. Praise the Lord. I've used it at funerals with those who had lost someone that they loved and missed and needed hope, for it gives us hope today. He is our shepherd. He's always with us. I've used it on the mission field. I preached a short sermon from it. I know you can't imagine a short sermon, but I did. As we dedicated the church that we had built in Mexico, taught that God's love was able to take people through anything that confronts them. And I believe that. I believe the Bible is very true, and it tells us that whatever we need, God brings us through. And what we all need is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've used it as a chaplain many times to bring comfort to a patient or loved ones who were about to meet the Lord. But today I want to share it with you once again, and I pray that we will find that peace, joy, and restoration that God has for us in this 23rd Psalm. As we first look at restoration, and when and where it's necessary for us to be restored, that may come more often than we realize in our lives, even as Christians. Discouragement, the labor that we have for the Lord gets heavier. The prayer that we pray for our loved ones and want them to be saved and want them to know Jesus Christ. And the burden gets heavy sometimes. So we need to be restored. He restores us. When the soul grows weary, when the soul grows sorrowful, and I work for the kingdom, he said, he restores my soul. The spirit and the soul sometimes get more wearisome than the body does. We may think, well, the body, it just can't keep up. It begins in our spirit, begins in our soul. And we have to keep that part of us, which is a part of God that we're made as an image in, we have to keep it strong and keep it restored. And the way we do that is through God's word and knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. So the restoration needs to be for us when the soul grows weary and when it grows sorrowful, which it does sometimes, but he's there to revive it. He revives us in that valley. And sometimes that valley is the valley of death. And there's a restoration there. And of course, if you die as a Christian, you're certainly going to be resurrected and restored with him. But as Christians who have to live on and face the things that we have to face from day to day, there are times when we get weary and tired. And we've seen in our own church here some people that were there so far down, you thought they'd never get up again. But they're here in church with us today. Restored. The spirit to live. The desire to stay and keep going for the Lord. To keep being in church. To keep being what God wants them to be. You see, that's a restoration of the mind, body, and soul, and the spirit. And we need that. When our spirit is weak, he strengthens it. If we'll call upon him, he'll restore it. That's where we sometimes get so weary and tired in working for the Lord that we forget that he's there to restore that which we need so badly. He does it. When we lose ourselves in Christ, we no longer have to depend on ourselves to restore us. And the reason we learned that lesson is because we've tried it before. And it don't work. In our minds, we try sometimes to make a restoration for ourselves. To do that which we know has to be done in order for us to keep going. But it's always a failure on our part when we try to do it ourselves. Because there's only one that can restore us. The psalmist lets us know who it is. The shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, Brother Shambach preached a message from that one year, years ago, as some of you don't even know who I'm talking about. But he was a great evangelist in days past. In fact, I've got the sermon in a book that I got from him. And he preached the message, and on that 23rd Psalm, he said it this way. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want for anything. Oh, a little play on words there, huh? See, the scripture says, I will not want. What is it that we will not want for? We won't want for anything if the Lord is our shepherd. We can continue in restoration with him. So you can't do it yourself. You have to have help. A lot of help, because we do get down and discouraged quite often. And so many times on life's journey, we need that restoration of our soul. We're always concerned about restoration of the body, trying to restore this old body to something that it can't be, looking for the fountain of youth. Oh, I know some of you older folks learned that in your history. Years back. You're not that old. You never learned that Ponce de Leon was looking for the fountain of youth. Of course, he found it when he died. got a new body in Christ if he was saved. Huh? Fountain. Today they're still looking for the fountain of youth. Huh? If you don't believe me, watch television. They can pump up your face. That can take out of your body what you don't want. They can replace it with something you think you want. What are they doing? Trying to restore this old body. Trying to make it look younger. And although sometimes it may look a little younger, it's not. Because you can mess with Mother Nature a little bit, but you can't mess with Father Time. But restoration is what they're looking for. Every once in a while, my wife and I will watch television and see somebody come on television, and my wife will say, they don't even look the same. Cheeks all puffed out like that. But they're looking younger. I don't know what they see in the mirror, but they're trying to restore this old body. But restoration must be made in the spirit and the soul. The body's going to decay. I don't care what you put in it. But the spirit and the soul is going to live forever somewhere. So we need that restoration in our spirit and our soul. And I know there are times when you felt weary and even weak and heaviness of the load that you're carrying, especially for friends and family that you're praying for and those that are sick. And the load gets heavy and the burden gets heavy. If you really care for people, then that burden gets kind of heavy for you to carry. But you find yourself in a valley of despair. Huh? You, if you're not careful, you'll even begin to lose some faith. You'll begin to doubt what God can do as you see so many wrong things in this world. But we must never lose faith, because that's what Satan desires to do to every individual that's saved, to destroy their faith. Because he knows when he gets your faith weak, doubt's going to enter in. And when doubt enters in, believing the Lord for what you need, that restoration. So you found yourself in the valley of despair. I'm sure we've all been there from time to time. But here's the key. You don't have to stay there. The psalmist says, I walk through. I don't stay there. I'm not looking for a home in despair. I'm not looking for a home in the mully grubs. I'm not looking for a home where there's no faith. Huh? Walking through that valley of death, that valley of despair that we're all going to walk through from time to time, because that's the way of life. There's losses and there's gains in life. And we have to depend upon the Lord to take us through those things. We like to shout on the mountaintop. Yeah, the song says when you're on the mountain, oh, everything's great, everything's grand. But what happens when you're down in the valley? Yeah. I've repeated this several times. I like it, so I'll repeat it again. One preacher said, I'm not in the valley. I'm just changing mountaintops. You got to go through that valley of despair sometimes to get to the next mountaintop. But you can get there. That's a promise from God's word. And so we don't have to stay in there. We don't have to live there. In the valley of despair is where restoration takes place. He said, in the valley, he restores our strength. He restores our faith. Oh, when we living high on the mountain, or as some folks would say, eating high on the hog, all is well and we're happy. Huh? Money's coming in, the food's there on the table. I'm going to Disney World twice a year. Come on. Some of you do like Disney World. I don't understand that. But that's good if you like it. I don't know how much it costs anymore, but I'm sure I'd have to take a year's wages just to go through there. But you see, when you're up on the mountaintop, everything's fine. Everything's good. Your body feels good. Your mind is free. But it doesn't take but a few hours where you find yourself in the valley of despair. On the mountaintop, we can shout and rejoice. But that's not the time to give up. It's the time to call on the great shepherd. But we must ask ourselves, how did we get to the valley of despair? I know that we are allowed, God allows us to go through trials and tribulations. That's to prove our faith, to prove our endurance, to prove our love. I mean, you can't just go around saying you're going to do these things. You got to prove them to God sometimes. And He does allow those times. But I believe there are more times than not, if we find out why or how we get here, will help us to allow the Lord to restore us. And I think we will find more times than not that I'm the reason. We become the reason we are in the valley of despair. I've kind of studied and analyzed the lives of everyone in the Bible that ended up in the valley of despair. There's quite a few of the great men of God that ended up in the valley of despair. And I found something very interesting. Most of it was their fault. How can that be? How can it be with us? Their faith became weak. They became weak in their faith. Yeah. Some of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, after winning great victories, became weak in their faith. Elijah was one of them. We know about the story of the prophets of Baals that all of them, 400, I think it was, that he killed on the mountaintop with the sacrifice going on and the fire coming from heaven and him running before the chariots to get to Jezreel. And then a lady came along. I know you know her name. Her name was Jezebel. She was married to King Ahab. And Jezebel found out that Elijah had killed all of these prophets of Baal, and she was a worshiper of Baal. And so she put out a hit on him. That's common language. She wanted him killed because of what he had done. And so what did he do? He ran. The Bible said he sat under a juniper tree. Ran from Jezebel, great prophet of God. You know where he went? To the valley of despair. And you know what God did while he was there? He restored him. He fed him. The ravens brought food to him, gave him strength. God restored his faith. And we know how he went on to be a miracle worker for the Lord. But there was a time in his life when he was in the valley of despair. So we get there the same way he got there. We lose our faith, or our faith becomes weak. And when your faith becomes weak, you begin to doubt. The Bible tells us that the only thing God will recognize, the only prayer that God will recognize, is the prayer of faith. If you don't have faith when you're praying, your prayers are not doing you any good. You got to believe. And that's how you're restored. It is now. And never was God's will for any of his people to live in the valley of despair. To go through it, yes, but not to live there. Not to become comfortable there. There's some Christians, and I've known some through the years, none of you here, I want to make that clear, they're not comfortable unless they're in the valley of despair. I remember one lady, precious old lady, and I know she's in heaven, fine Christian. But before church started, you dare not ask her how she felt. Because she had every disease known to man. And she didn't mind telling you about it. Of course, it took a long time. I had to interrupt her sometimes so church could start. A precious soul living in a valley of despair. Now, we all get there from time to time, but we can't live there. This lady lived there. She's the kind of Christian that would call you up and have a pity party with you instead of praising God. It's awful quiet. Maybe there's something like that around. I don't know. It's okay. Come on. Boy, y'all are quiet this morning. Somebody ought to be shouting amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Because it's true. Huh? Oh, I could be telling you about the blessings of Abraham and you'd be having both hands raised up shouting hallelujah. But you don't have the blessings of Abraham. That's for the Jews. Uh-oh. Now where's he going? We have the blessings of Jesus Christ. Huh? We have the blessings that come from the cross. Oh, Abraham's blessings are great. Eh? But Abraham's blessings are included a lot of times in what we get from the cross. Because it's all the blessings of God. But if I had to go back and live on the blessings of Abraham, I'd be short-lived. Because I need new blessings every day. I need a new healing every day. I need a new ministry every day. I need a closer walk with the Lord every day. How do I get that? Through Christ and Him crucified. That's the only place you can find it. That'll make you shout a little bit. Well, we've been raised from the lowest valley of sin to the higher ground. We sang an old song years ago. It said, Lord, lift me up and let me stand on higher ground. Some people are still wallowing around in the mud pile. I know you don't remember the little message I preached about the chickens fluttering around in the dirt while the eagle soars. He said he'd lift us up as what? Eagles. We're above all of that as long as you keep your faith strong and your faith is anchored where it should be. He brought us to higher ground. To walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is to walk on higher ground. There's a song our old preacher used to sing years ago. I asked my wife the other day if she remembered it, and I found out my memory is better than hers for that song. Who's going to come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, that's an uplifting song. Yes, it is. I'm bound for the promised land. No detour, no valley of despair. I'm bound for the promise. Who's going to come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. I know none of you remember that because you didn't know Brother Cornwell. But he played his guitar and sung that old song. Beautiful message to it. But listen, he doesn't want us to stay in that valley or live in that valley. He goes there with us to get us out. You remember the story of the three Hebrew children? Huh? When they were cast into fire, guess what happened? They found somebody else there before them. The old king said, "Wow, that looks like the Son of God." Well, you know what? Jesus was waiting for them in the fire. He's waiting for us in the valley of despair to lift us up. But we must, first of all, be able to say what they said. I don't know if God will deliver me from the fire or not. But if he does, we're going to have a revival. But if he don't, I'm going to heaven. Huh? One way or the other, I've got victory over this situation. Yeah. There's a third man, fourth man, fifth man. Wherever you are in your valley, he's there with you. He's always there. So what I've discovered from Scripture is that it's not always the one thing that we do. We always think of it that way. Not the one big thing that we look back on sometimes. No, it's not that. That might be the reason for the beginning of it, but we end up in the valley of despair. But it's a combination of things. The Bible calls them little foxes. Little things in life that we just overlook that lead us into the valley of despair. Little things that we see as being unimportant in our lives. We don't even clear it with God. We clear it in our minds and we go ahead and do it. Those little foxes. You know, you've heard the saying or read the scripture in Solomon, the second chapter, I believe around the 15th verse. It says, little foxes that spoil the vine. Well, you know what the reference to that is? Little sins that destroy your faith. Little sins. We like to make excuses, all of us. Lord, you know, I only told a little white lie today. Everybody's laughing, but nobody's shouting. A little white lie, Lord, you understand. Well, maybe you got away with one little white lie. But guess what? If you keep on, tomorrow it'll be two little white lies. Then it'll be three and four. Little foxes that spoil the vine. Little foxes. We often look at one big thing that we've done that destroyed our faith, but no. Everything we do along the way has led to that big thing by tolerating. Now, we have to begin to take inventory of our own lives. Oh, it's so easy to take inventory of someone else's life. We look out over our friends and neighbors and church-going people, and we can really, really take inventory over their lives because we've known them a long time. We know what they did, and you know what? We know what you did.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.